Welcome back, Chiefs fans. It is the aftermath. I know you guys are tired of it. I know the fallout's not what you wanted, but we're going to give you the reasons to be concerned and the reasons to be positive, and we have a big update on Andy Reid. Welcome to Locked On Chiefs.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Hey, folks, just a quick note before we launch into this episode. We had just finished recording it when the news about the Chiefs signing Josh Gordon just broke. So we don't get into it in this particular show. We'll have more for that tomorrow on tomorrow's episode. But just know that we'd recorded this just before that. So that topic's off the table. But a lot of other things about the fallout from the Chiefs versus the Chargers. It's going to be fun. Here we go. Welcome back, everybody. As you notice, that's not Chris.
Hi, guys.
We got Daniel back. For those of you who watch us over on RGR, Daniel Harms, my partner in crime over there, as well as fantasy football guru around the interwebs. That's him.
Guru's putting it a little high up there. I'm still like getting my feet wet in the industry, but I do appreciate having you having me on here because I know that there's a lot of not so much crossover between the RGR guys and the Locked On. So I like to get comfortable with some of these Locked On fans. So yeah, hi, everybody.
I'm glad you're here and I appreciate you doing it because like it is a very different show, a different kind of thing, folks. We're not going to get deep into the film like we do on RGR and that stuff. But
I got opinions for you.
right. We are going to take apart what happened here, what has to happen going forward. But first, I got to tell you, check out all the other shows that you need to check out. By our sponsor today is Rock Auto. And check out the Betts show. Check out Locked On Now if you want up-to-date information on not just this team, but a lot of the teams across the NFL. Pete does a great job over there. It keeps the information coming. It's important. The most important update that we got today is that Andy Reid has left the hospital. He was admitted afterwards, after the ball game, taken in the ambulance. He was admitted, did spend the night, but he has been released now. Now, the interesting thing to me is the team's been very positive, and I do applaud Chiefs PR. Well done, you know, keeping the information out there from the source and not letting speculation run wild because the initial reports were quite confused. One, that he wasn't feeling well. That's what we heard officially. Jake Glazer had it as heart palpitations, and that made me very nervous. Yeah. We saw the compression socks earlier in the preseason. Might rejoin the team today or tomorrow. I find that, honestly, quite relieving to me. Like, how concerned are you about what this does to Andy's ability to get back into the groove?
So considering how they thought it was came down as dehydration, he wasn't feeling well. And as you get older, dehydration is very dangerous, especially for a guy of his health and weight, if we're being very honest. So it's huge to say that he got released today, that they got enough fluids in him and he's doing better. Being at home resting is huge. I think that he'll be there this week, probably tomorrow. I would probably say Wednesday is when he'll actually be there. So they'll have Spags and Eric Bieniemy do most of the stuff the next 2 days when they have a lot of these install practices. And he'll probably be there remotely. I would think that he's going to see a little bit of what is going to be going on in the facility. So it's very, very comforting because, you know, my wife was talking about during the game, you know, he's getting older. How much is he going to coach? Like, his health is not what it used to be. And then he ends up going to the hospital. She was like freaking out. Like, I jinxed Andy Reid. So no, it was kind of an interesting thing that happened there, but no, we're very happy that he's doing well. Great to see that, you know, like you said, nothing got out there, speculation, because that can start running. I first was a little speculative of maybe Andy doesn't want to talk to the media. If I'm like very first reactionary thought process, I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't want to after this loss, but it's good that he's doing much better now.
Yeah, I'm really relieved to see that. And we heard from the assistant coaches and folks, they are in a very good position in that they have Dave Tobe as the assistant head coach. He's run teams before. He's been able to step in when needed. We have Steve Spagnuolo here in this particular staff that has been an interim and has been a head coach before. And we have Eric Bieniemy that is a head coach in waiting, basically. So in terms of having guys that can run the day-to-day, the three coordinated groups of players, I think that's fine. But when it comes to like the final say-so on game plan and everything, that's going to come later in the week. And that's what they have to have Andy Reid for, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's huge because they're going to get him for that this week. And going into a game where you're playing Andy Reid's old team going for his 100th win. Like, this is kind of an important game, not only for Andy Reid, but for the Chiefs. They don't want to start the season 1-3. That's when the wheels start to really fall off. So it's a big game. It's important to get everybody on the same page. As we've noted for the first 3 weeks of the season, being on the same page is very important to the success of your football team.
Yeah, and Bieniemy talked about it here on Monday, about the notion that teams have caught up to him. And he's, you know, we're putting up 28, 30 points a game. Yeah. That is being on the same page. Yes, there have been issues. There have been mistakes, obviously. This many turnovers at this point. I think it took him to like week 7 to have this many turnovers. Yeah. So this is obviously abnormal. But that doesn't mean that they're not on the same page. I felt like, in terms of overall performance, especially on the offensive side, it felt like it was more coordinated. I hate to see the turnovers, but that doesn't mean that it's not functional. And I am actually falling quite a bit on Eric Bieniemy's side on that comment today.
Yeah, for me, it was mostly looking at the defense in terms of communication and being on the same page. That's where I look at that. The offense has been fine. Like, yesterday, they had 33 first downs and 427 yards of offense, outpacing the Chargers, and yet the Chargers stopped them. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, this narrative is running wild with, they had a good game plan. They did. But Mahomes, early in the game, got a ton of people involved. You had Fortson getting a catch. You had Mecole Hardman. You had them running the ball for 5. They did everything you're supposed to do in that game when they take away Tyreek Hill and try to double up Travis Kelce, and they were moving the ball just fine. And then that's when everything that happened to beat the Chiefs is what happened. And then they ended up tying the game anyway. Like, we're talking about a team that turned the ball over 4 times, ended up tying this game. That's that kind of stuff doesn't happen. And you can tell that the Chargers did not want anything to do with David and the ball back. That's why they went for it on those consecutive 4th downs. So they went for it on 4th and 9. This game was really a culmination of everything that has to happen for you to beat the Chiefs on their worst day, and they still tied it. So I know that there's a lot of negativity in Chiefs Kingdom right now, but there's a lot to take away from this game that shows you that they're getting there. They're getting on that same page, and they just got some kinks to work out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the way that the game flow went, I think, is very important. And I want to address what Brandon Staley said. We'll do that on the backside of this. Hey, Chiefs fans, we're back with an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are getting 25 cents back for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the app, Get Upside app, in the App Store or on Google Play right now. Use the promo code Touchdown, and you get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. So that's like 50 cents per gallon on your first tank. Download that app and use the promo code Touchdown. Drivers are making a lot of money, as much as $200 or $300 in cash that goes right back onto their accounts, and you can use it in any way that you want, either your bank account, PayPal, whatever. Get that Get Upside app and use the promo code Touchdown to start to get 50 cents per gallon on your first tank and 25 cents after that. That's Touchdown on Get Upside. It's all there. You can have it all. The Gridiron and all the teams are back on there, and you can get your money into the action by going to betonline.ag for all your pro and college action you're trying to get going. Whether it's the updated interface that you like, more odds, more props and contests, everything's there at your number one source at betonline.ag. Head over to the website, use your mobile or anything else, and you get 100% welcome bonus. You do need that code NFL100 for that. That's double your initial deposit. So you put that down and they give you it right back on top. So football, basketball, all the other sports over there at the fastest, easiest way to get all your action on the line. See, I made it happen again. BetOnline.ag. Use our promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So Staley talked with Peter King, and this was my big thing, is a lot of questions, even on the broadcast, about his decision-making there, giving Pat the ball back, which is a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
But when you look back at the tip from Kemp, went for an interception, a drop by Pringle that he probably could have had. Patrick was off target a number of times. I would say probably I'm approaching 40, 50% of his tosses. But it wasn't until Staley elaborated on his decision-making process that he said himself that both quarterbacks, all the kickers, were all having trouble with the wind. I didn't think that it was that windy, but clearly it was having an effect on the path of the ball a lot more than I thought. And so then that does make sense that, you know what, let's not put it up to chance, especially with a high kick. Arrowhead, it swirls. You don't want to put that ball up. If you keep the ball down on a rope like Herbert can do, that started to click to me that that was really their only choice if they were going to pull out the win.
Yeah, and I was talking about it with my wife during the game. Like, this is, you could tell with some of the kicks, like for example, the missed extra point by the Chargers initially. The wind was having an effect on some of those balls. So, like the last Mahomes interception, it did drift past Kelce even further than he probably anticipated, because he kind of floated it in there. So that had a huge impact on everybody. But you keep it down close, like, you know, Herbert was just slinging the ball everywhere against everybody. And when you're in man coverage outside and you have two receivers that can get open like that, I mean, I'm going to just props to Mike Williams, because he was not a guy who could do that the last couple years. So I don't know what Anthony Lynn was doing over there, but it wasn't getting in developing Mike Williams, who looks really, really good this year. So they did a lot of really good things.
Let's be honest, though. Mike Williams doesn't have much to do to get open against Mike Hughes.
No, Sean Breland could reach
almost as high as him. Mike Hughes is like, what are you doing up there?
Yeah, it's not, you're not wrong. But at the same time, like, I've looked through the first couple of games, he's doing more route running wise and they're actually utilizing him properly. But yeah, this is when you're manned up with DeAndre Baker, who hasn't played this season, and Mike Hughes, who's been what he is in man coverage one-on-one in his career. Oh, it was easy pickings for him. He just did whatever he wanted to. And that 4th-and-9 the touchdown throw at the end of the game. So yeah, what they were able to do with the wind, being able to move the ball up and down the field, getting the ball with Clyde a bit more involved, you know, having a 100-yard game, that was very, not just important for the functionality of the offense, but for the confidence of the young back going forward and to keep the ball, you know, like you said, out of the air where it could really be moved around by the wind.
Yeah. I feel like Clyde took a step. I felt he ran harder. I thought the all line blocked harder. Like, that's the level of aggression, honestly, on both lines.
Yeah.
That they have to have every week. They shouldn't have had to lose a game or get embarrassed to get to that point. That should be the baseline. I honestly think they both have a lot of upside. And to take advantage of that, I think you have to make sure that you're getting guys in positive matchups. I've heard a lot of complaints today about Lucas Niang. And let me just tell you, folks, Lucas had a tough matchup. For him not to give up some kind of skull-crushing sack to Joey Bosa is an accomplishment. Was he great? No. Was he terrible? Not in any way, in my opinion. He had a couple of bad snaps. He had a couple of things where he kept everything in front of him like he should. It's a growing process for what I think is a true rookie still.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the offensive line of the last couple of years being really, really bad. You bring in a lot of guys who you think are going to be more people movers, and they had to kind of get a fire lit under them for some reason to get going this season in the run game, which is, you know, it happened in week three, which is, you know, good for going forward. But again, Niang is still learning. I think we kind of just assume that these guys are going to come in and be great because they interchanged a whole offensive line from last year. And yes, they looked very good in the first couple of games. Joey Bosa, even on a hobbled ankle, which was clearly bothering him, is a problem for just about any tackle. He's able to do things on the outside. He's able to set you up with inside-outside counters. It's because he has that, not just speed, but flexibility within his hips and his ankles, even though it was hurt, that allows him to do a lot of things to give tackles that are athletic, like Niang, problems. And that's, going forward, it's a huge learning step for him. This entire first 3 weeks has been huge, and I will not understate this at all, huge for the development of this offensive line. They've played very good edge rushers, great schemes with the Ravens, and another really, really, really excellent edge rusher in Joey Bosa. So this is only going to make them better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that allows everybody else to stand out. A couple of standouts for me. We'll talk about snap counts and adjustments on the defensive side, but staying here on the offensive side, probably the most bang for the buck of anybody on this roster is Jody Fortson. And obviously scoring is a big thing for him. Congrats, Jode. But six snaps to get that done. Heck of a block to play before it too. So I want to shout him out. Performances that were maybe up or down, or who stood out to you as a positive.
And we talked a little bit about him already. Clyde was really doing much better in this game, and whether it had to do with them finally using him more in inside zones, not just having him run those outside zones to the edge and turning his shoulders to the side and getting upfield. They did a very good job of moving this defensive line of the Chargers and giving him space to operate. which is, you know, it's important for all running backs in the NFL to have that and not always have to get hit in the backfield and continuously churn out runs. I think he only had one negative run on the day, and it was in the fourth quarter. Like, he was able to churn out positive yards all day. Getting him involved in the passing game is going to be important. I don't understand what's going on with that, but a couple screens, that one screen that got blown up because no one was on the same page, that would have gone for a good amount had they actually blocked it up front properly. And then the scoring one was very big. Clyde had a good day. Offensively, like you said, I think that Tyreek Hill hurt most of this game, I think, was a decoy. 90% of the time he was on the field when it mattered the most. But again, Mecole Hardman doing what you asked of him, getting the most out of the snaps and the touches that he's been given is all you can ask. He's not getting a whole lot of touches, but he's doing the most with them. I know a lot of people joked about him being the running back, the better running back, but no, he's just being utilized on these jet sweeps properly. And instead of taking them to the edge all the way, he's finding a cutback lane and getting upfield for not only that first down, but the touchdown later.
Which traffic maneuvering is something for him that I think will be important. So if he gets more of those hands off, it will help. And you're right. What did he have? 51 to Robinson's 57. So nearly pulled even in number of snaps. Pringle threw in another 30. Not his best day. Marcus Kemp played 7 snaps. I think we'd all like to forget about them mostly. and that's okay. I mean, that's not Marcus's job, to tell you the truth. I will say that this did spur me to write down that, hey, maybe they ought to activate Fountain, see what they have there, see if they can get some kind of jump start there. Tough for this roster on a game day, though.
Yeah, it's tough. Wide receiver is, outside of your two guys up top in Kelce and Hill, they've been struggling to find something. And whether that's Mahomes not getting to them on their reads or whether it's them not getting open, I'm going to do a little bit more research into that. And it's got a lot to do with the fact that wide receiver isn't extremely talented. I like Byron Pringle. I like Mecole Hardman. But just other than that, there's not much talent at wide receiver. So they're going to have to figure some ways to get guys open, and whether it's going to be lighting a fire under them by activating Fountain or maybe just using guys like Jody Fortson a little bit more often and getting some of those punishing yards. We're going to have to see how it goes.
Fire might be the optimal word when it comes to the defense, folks. We're going to talk about that coming up next. And I want to tell you about our friends and sponsors, rockauto.com, where they can save you not only money, but time. And time might be the more important, because it takes time to go to a store and find out what they have in stock, see if it fits your make, model, car, truck, whatever it is. You can go to rockauto.com and save both time and money. It's important. Why choose to spend 50 or 100% more plus lose time when you go to a physical store? You can go to rockauto.com and get it all at one time. Rock Auto is a family business, and they've been doing this for 20 years. They make things easy, and their prices are reliably low, and they're for everybody. Whether it's a professional or a keep-it-up-your-do-it-yourself kind of guy like me, my truck keeps running because of things like rockauto.com. I want you to check that out, because they have everything from brake parts all the way up to air filters and everything else that you may need for your car or truck. Go there, explore their website. Check it out. I think you guys will really enjoy it. And at the end of the day, it's about saving you that time and money. So rockauto.com right now, get the parts that are available for your car. Write in Locked On when they have that little how did you hear about us box. Let them know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Fire in a number of ways. Certainly lit one on the defensive line. A lot of folks calling for Spag's job. That's not going to happen to anyone. Don't even start. I also felt like the linebackers executed their roles better and more aggressively, and I liked seeing that. Was it necessarily a large jump in performance? No, but it was solid.
Yeah, it was, and we talk a lot about linebacker. We've talked about it all offseason, and the fact that it's not a good group of linebackers. You take out Willie Gay, which unfortunately you've had to because of injury, and it's a below-average linebacker core. Even with him, it's probably an average group. They haven't addressed it very well. And when things are in front of them, they do a much better job of finding those gaps, getting downhill. And Hitchens had a few where he finally saw the hole, went down into it, and blew it up. Bolton had the same. But the problem with these linebackers is coverage. There is nobody on this roster outside of Willie Gay, who's currently hurt, that can play coverage. And you notice it multiple times where you have not only Dan Sorensen coming down to the box, just staying vertical with those play action passes and those bootlegs, and you see them really close to the line of scrimmage and they're not getting depth after they realize it's a pass. That happened a ton of times, and you could see guys just streaking open behind them because they're not getting depth. They're not coming back into their coverage, and that's going to be a very big problem for the Chiefs linebackers, for the Chiefs defense going forward, if they can't find a way to get back into this depth and realize and see that the play action pass is coming. They have to find a way to be able to do that. And the only way you can really do that is doing a better job in the run game. And if you continuously are in these short yardage positions in like second and three, second and four, Spags talked about it today. He'd love to be in more second and long situations. You want to know how you do that? You stop the run better, because until they can do that, teams are just going to run for 6-7 yards on first down and force you to play that play action pass, or they can throw it, they can run it, they can do whatever they want to.
Yeah. And it's only going to change when you force it to change. That's the way the NFL works. And I agree with you. I'm waiting for more back to normal, quote unquote. Let Tyron be in the robber. You have to have three safeties on there to really make that work in this particular scheme. Saw an uptick for Juan Thornhill, but not enough, in my opinion. Folks, we have all 22, sort of. There's a glimpse of it. We'll do some of that over on RGR, and then when I'm done, I'll give you the breakdown here as well, coming up later in the week. But in Thornhill playing a little bit more, I think that allows them to get into that rhythm. And if he can continue that streak, we still don't know what it is, but they have to get to the point where they can cover deep enough to let Tyron roam the middle and get a chance at covering up some of that lack of depth beyond 8 yards that I think teams are just going to continue and continue to target.
It's a problem. And I think that losing Rashad Fenton did not help at all. He was really, really nice screen read, and he was able to get in there on that first drive. Didn't see much of him after that because, you know, he got the what was the concussion that he had?
I believe the
concussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen that confirmed yet.
No, we'll see going into this week if he's able to return. But, you know, the corners weren't great yesterday either. And again, I think that also comes down to late in the game, Spags wanted to put pressure. He felt like he had to put pressure on Justin Herbert because he was, whenever the Chiefs rushed for, Justin Herbert sat back there. He had a drink. He put his speed up a little bit, and he was able to just find guys wide open here, wide open there. So Spags near the end of the game was like, okay, I'm going to leave the man out one-on-one on the outside, and I'm going to bring pressure. Unfortunately, Justin Herbert's like, okay, I know your corners can't do much against one-on-one guys who can just get open or go get the ball. So I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to throw it up to him, and I'm going to let him make a play. He did it all down the stretch, which is not great. Spags wants to be able to play behind and mix things around with his coverage guys and be able to send pressure and make you confused. But if you're Justin Herbert and you can see everything, he had no impact at all from the pressure that was coming.
Yeah. I mean, and here are the pressures, folks. Chris Jones, 4 of them, didn't get home. Mike Dana, 4 pressures and did get home. The only sack of the day to Mike Dana.
Man, that sack was great too.
Yeah, it was well fought for. That's what he has to do. He's not going to be an explosive guy that beats everyone to the spot. So he's got to power through, and he did. Jaren Reed had a couple as well. He had 2. A couple of other guys, Saunders, Wharton, Sorensen, and Hitchens, each had 1. Alex Okafor, 1 as well. Not a lot of pressure. Definitely not a lot of guys hitting Herbert. It's not do you sack him, do you get him on the ground? For Herbert in particular, you got to hit him because he's just too strong. He's just too big. If you just let him stand there, and even if you make him move off of his spot, he's a guy you got to hit to be effective against.
Yeah, he's so athletic. You saw it a couple of times. He's like a Mahomes type in this sense, where you get him outside the pocket, he can and will make you pay because he can extend those plays. And you'd think that the Chiefs would be, you know, somewhat built to understand how that works. And I think they did a pretty decent job of keeping him in that pocket. Yeah, but again, he didn't have to move a whole lot because there wasn't so much pressure. But yeah, watching this team rush 4 is painful right now, and it's coming from everywhere. There's just no one that can win one-on-one when Chris Jones getting doubled, or he's even having some trouble too. So it's a struggle right now. But, you know, week 3, I think that they're going to be able to find a way to manufacture some pressure, but early stop down that run, which they did much better this week. Again, the Chargers don't have that huge run game that we saw the first 2 weeks, so that definitely helps.
Yeah. We're going to wait for some updates, folks. They are off Tuesday. By the time you're listening to this, we should have an update Wednesday. on the health, not only of Andy Reid, but of Rashad Fenton as well, who I think will be important going forward. Hopefully Ward can get back. For everybody who thought they were ready to get rid of Ward, now you see what happens when you don't have that experience out there. Mike Hughes is at a disadvantage, though. He understands what he's doing. He has experience. He's a shorter guy, especially against that receiving crew. That makes things difficult. So Fenton is the tweener that I think they got to get back as early as possible. We'll have updates for you post the injury updates as well. Matt Jerick will be with me tomorrow. We'll continue down this road this week. Don't take it too hard. Things are going to look up. And, you know, there's always next week, at least for another 14 weeks. So Daniel Harms, you can find him at inharms19 on Twitter, as well as all around the interwebs and over on RGR with me. Thank you, Daniel.
No problem. That's inharmsway19.
Did I do that wrong?
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get better at that. Folks, thank you for listening today. Check out Locked On Bets for all of your information as you get ready for this next week. A lot of good work going over on there. And thank you for making us your first listen today. Go find another Locked On podcast to check out, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.